every morning, Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Aronsa on Classic Business. Breakfast with MoneyWeb.
It's 7:32. Delivering his State of the Nation address in Parliament last week, President Cyril Ramaphosa committed to prioritizing the signing of the Competition Amendment Bill into law. It's geared primarily towards transforming the economy through aiding small to medium and black-owned businesses. To talk to us a little bit more about the bill is Chris Charter, who's the National Head of Competition Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Thank you so much for your time, Chris. Perhaps you can explain to us what the intention behind the bill is.
Sure. Morning, Natasha. The bill is ambitious, but broadly it falls within the overarching government policy of economic transformation. You might even say radical economic transformation. And it's really focused primarily on driving behavior towards developing perhaps what most people would admit is an underdeveloped class of small businesses and black-owned businesses. To develop those value chains is probably overall the intention of the bill. It has a couple of prongs to that. An important one is enhanced abilities on the part of the competition authorities to run market inquiries. So greater powers to call for information relating to industries and sectors which are perceived to be somewhat inefficient, and in particular those where there is perceived barriers to entry to expansion by small and black-owned companies. There is one provision in the bill which is perhaps a bit more controversial. That is a requirement that foreign acquiring firms, so when there's foreign investment, that they submit themselves to a secondary process or a parallel process, which is designed to make sure that any of those foreign acquisitions don't jeopardize the national security. So there's a national security veto in play also with the bill, which is not out of line with a lot of developments in other jurisdictions, but is perhaps a bit of a sore thumb.
I mean, President Cyril Ramaphosa, you know, embarked on this drive to, you know, attract, I think, $100 billion of investment into South Africa. Does this bill work hand in hand with what he's trying to achieve, or at some point could it be a hindrance to his plan?
That is difficult to say. Overall, I think this bill stands alone, and it's probably not entirely in line with what one consider a red tape-free investment environment. But all around the world, regulation is increasingly recognized as necessary to put important tramlines in place to sort of unfettered market economy. Markets have failed around the world. So broadly speaking, this shouldn't be unexpected to investors. In my experience, a deal in any jurisdiction that makes good commercial sense, if there's money to be made, people will deal with the regulatory hurdles. So I have to be honest, I don't share the thoughts of many that this is kind of a nail in the coffin for foreign investment. It is more regulation, but regulation is a reality all over the world.
All right. On that then, do you see any opportunities that could arise as a result of this bill being signed into law?
I think there are a couple of opportunities. The primary opportunity, I think, is frankly an opportunity for big business in particular to take a bit more cognizance of how their procurement policies and their selling conduct could improve and enhance an underserviced value chain. And I think big business who pay a bit more attention to supplier development and value chain development with a particular lens on small businesses or black-owned businesses stand to do very well. They'll stand head and shoulders above their competitors, and the competitors will be fighting enforcement action from the commission while they're free to do business. So I think that bodes well if people get their attitude right. Small businesses, of course, have an opportunity to capitalize on the new rules, but small businesses will need to appreciate, and I think the draft regulations that have been published make it very clear that they will still need to work hard to be competitive.
On the topic of M&A activity, I mean, what's your view of what's happening in that space at this point?
Yeah, I think most would say that M&A activity is pretty flat in South Africa. The economy is not robust. Which means that a lot of people, I think, with the capital to spend on investment and expansion are perhaps waiting until the DESA general elections to see if things become a bit clearer. I think it's uncertainty which is really poison for investment and M&A activity. So once we have more certainty as to where we're headed and the policy settles down, God willing, I think we will see a lot more action on that front.
Right. Thank you so much for your time. That's Chris Charter, who's the National Head of Competition Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Arabile, I have to bring you and Chantal into this conversation. It's a fun one. I just caught Chantal off guard there a little bit. If you could buy anybody's house who either you admire or is, I don't know, a hero of yours or whatever, whose house would you buy?
I don't know what their houses look like, but because I'm a big fan of Sizwe Ngcasana,
okay,
I probably want to buy his house.
All right.
I hope he gives it to me. I can't afford it.
I have absolutely no idea. It would have to be in South Africa. Don't want a house anywhere else.
Okay,
right?
but now, Cape Town or Joburg?
So I do have a house in Joburg.
Okay.
So let's be practical.
So you don't want to go to Cape Town. You'd rather just stay in Joburg.
Yeah, but I could have a holiday home perhaps in Cape Town.
Okay.
Somewhere with a view. I actually don't know where people live.
It's just where you live and everyone else, right?
Yes.
Makes sense. Why do you ask, Tash?
So Jeff Bezos' house, the house where Amazon was founded in Bellevue, Washington, it's for sale. You could buy it for $1.4 million. Apparently, it's relatively cheap compared to the local listings in the area.
Sounds cheap, yeah.
And it has 3 bedrooms and 1 3/4 of a bath kind of thing. Yeah.
Wait, that's Jeff Bezos' house?
Yes, it's the house where Amazon was founded. And we're talking years ago, not these current properties.
I was about to say, I thought you were talking about his current house.
No. I'm talking about where the idea around Amazon, the garage where the famous picture was, that house is available for sale.
I'm actually getting ideas now of his house.
Okay.
So I'm thinking Michael Jordan.
Okay, makes sense.
He's in the Western Cape, right? But in the Winelands.
Yeah.
So you've got... Uh-huh. You've got space, you've got square footage.
Definitely.
Someone I definitely admire. But yeah, I'm not sure what his original home looked like. Maybe that's an option too.
Hey, he was also your boss at some stage, wasn't he?
He was my boss's 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 boss at some stage.
Wow, talk about a pecking order here, right?
And we actually have a very flat hierarchy at F&B.
So for him to be your boss's 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 boss, then sure, okay. A lot happening on that front. But yeah, okay, interesting one though. Any other people you're thinking of?
I am actually just, apart from that, I am drawing an absolute blank.
Yeah.
You don't want to change your answer. You're sticking to that one.
Yeah, I still stick to him. Yeah.
All right. Let's have a look at traffic.